place, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a new friend of mine. Welcome to the show, Kelly Gashu.
Thanks, Rebecca. So happy to be here.
I am so glad we met this year at a Global Women event, and we just sat next to each other by chance and hit it off. And I am so excited to share you with my community. And I will tell my audience a little bit about your background, and I'm sure we'll go way more into your story. But Kelly is a former investment industry insider turned financial coach and founder of the Personal Finance Warrior. She empowers women to take control over their money, invest with confidence, and build lasting wealth alongside their careers. As a graduate of Harvard University and the Booth School of Business at the University of Chicago, Kelly combines world-class expertise with understanding the challenges of women. Her mission is to give every woman and a few good men that are listening to the show, you'll get some amazing tools too, and she's going to share these. But she's going to give everyone these tools to create a life of financial independence and confidence. I think that's what everybody wants, right? Along with health is financial independence and confidence. So this is such a great mission, and you are such a world traveler. I know you've been to 50 different countries and lived in 11 cities. Tell us about your journey. Like, how did you go from being a Harvard grad to being this financial wealth coach?
Sure. And actually, Rebecca, it starts a lot earlier than that.
Yes,
and
tell us.
Let me take you back to fourth grade. And so in fourth grade, we had a half day at school and there was a $2 pizza special. And so I was excited and I asked my mom for $2 for the pizza special. And she was embarrassed and she looked at me and said, Kelly, I don't have $2. And I couldn't believe it. I said, what do you mean? It's only $2. Let me look at your wallet. And ashamed, she opened her wallet and not a single dollar fell out. And I knew at that moment, as the youngest of four children, that my mom ended up leaving my dad. She was blocked out of the bank account, and so she needed to start from scratch with four young children. And so in fourth grade, I learned that money is not about buying things. For me, it showed me that it was about choices. And so I decided in that moment that I was not going to let money dictate my life. And so as a hardworking individual, I then wanted to follow the blueprint. And so worked hard, went to a top college, earned my MBA, and then landed my dream job of a six-figure job on Wall Street as an investment analyst. Even though what I found out was that I was $120,000 in debt. And so even though I was helping these multi-million dollar clients, I was embarrassed that I had this huge amount of debt. And I couldn't believe that what I thought was I followed the path of success and here I was $120,000 in debt. And I was a bit embarrassed that here I am analyzing these investment portfolios. And so I would go into the office on Sundays, and it was on a snowy Sunday in February that I was doing some research, and I realized that I'm doing all this extra research for clients and I'm not investing for myself. And I'm not focused on investing as a way to repay this debt. So I started using those Sundays to start investing, to start exploring ideas. And I came across an idea And I put in a small amount because I was paying off my $1,500 in, you know, every month for my student loans. And at the same time, I was investing these small amounts. And in particular, there was a company that was on the verge of bankruptcy. And I said, I think this is an opportunity. And I invested a small amount. And I'm a long-term investor. And I teach my audience that, you know, step by step and creating a portfolio over a long period of time. So it was 2 years later that I looked at this position that was $1,000. And it turned into $50,000. Wow. And so this was the power of investing on behalf, like for myself, and, you know, really using that energy to invest for myself. And so this is what I want to share with my audience, that you too can learn how to invest. And I focus on women, and in particular, women entrepreneurs, because the number one mistake that I've seen is that they're so focused on their business, just like I was so focused on doing a good job for my clients, that I wasn't investing for myself. And so this is why I have different coaching programs for, particularly for women entrepreneurs, so that they don't make the same mistake that I did, is that they are growing their business and investing alongside their business.
That is such a great story. Now, where did you grow up and how did you end up getting into Harvard? And was that Harvard undergrad?
Yes. So I went to Harvard undergrad. So I grew up in Boston. And so, as I mentioned, the youngest of four kids. And so my mom needed to leave my dad. I was about 2 years old. And we moved from New Jersey to Boston. And that's when I really understood. So my mom's story instilled in me the importance of financial independence. And even, you know, the story from fourth grade instilled in me the scrappiness. And so I started working different jobs to avoid the situation of asking for money and there being an empty wallet. And so at 10 years old, I had a paper route and I would deliver the Boston Globe on my scooter in the neighborhood. And then don't tell anybody, I was 12 years old when I got my first job at the grocery store and was bagging groceries and actually feel really grateful. I worked at that grocery store all through high school and was able to juggle different activities. I really enjoyed playing volleyball and played on a regional volleyball team. And my mom, you know, juggled multiple jobs. And so I really relied on the community for help, for rides, for, you know, supporting me in my different extracurricular activities. And just feel really lucky. I focused on school and working hard. And then and then I had this idea that I wanted to spend time in Asia. And so
how did you get into Harvard?
And that's where I ended up going to Harvard. So that was a global platform so that I then could go move to Asia. And before becoming a financial coach, I worked in Asia for 4 years, 3 years in Shanghai as an investment analyst, and then a year in Hong Kong as an investment analyst.
Okay, that's all amazing. But did you go to Harvard undergrad in Boston, the city of Boston?
Yeah, it's in Cambridge.
Okay, in Cambridge, but you started in Asia and then transferred to Cambridge? How did it happen? Like with not having a lot of money growing up, how were you able to get into Harvard? Was it like financial aid? Did you work your way through college? Like how, because that's a very expensive, you know, the most elite college. How did that happen?
So I actually received a scholarship.
Incredible. An academic scholarship.
If you're under a certain income threshold, then you qualify for a scholarship.
Congratulations. And obviously you had the grades. So you have always been such a hard worker. And like you said, so plucky, so tenacious. And what do you think is something that women who are listening, maybe they're like you, maybe they have the tenacity and the pluckiness and they just can't seem to get that break. They can't seem to have enough money to invest. What do you think is the number one mistake that women make when it comes to their finances, with investing, anything that maybe give us a couple mistakes that you see women making that you can help us with?
Sure. I would say that the number one, I kind of want to say myth that I want to break is that you can start investing just with a very small amount, and it can be $25, $50, $100. And I actually have a checklist. I call it my financial freedom checklist. And so for those out there, it'll be in the notes, but it's bit.ly wealth list. And so wealth list is the word. And on this checklist is some different steps. And one of the key steps is starting small. And with these small amounts. So no matter where you are, that $25 or $50 can help you get started. And so that's where, so for those who, there may be a 401k plan at work, that's also a place where you can start small. And then if you are an entrepreneur or you run your own business and need to set up your own account, you can do that through an IRA and or an investment account. But often people feel like they need this large sum of money. They need to wait for maybe my, I'll wait for my tax refund to make this investment. But the truth is you can start really small. And this checklist, like I wish I had this to start off with. And one of the key steps is that if you, that you can automate this and that that money can grow over time, including just those small, that small amount. It can be that $25, $50 every month. And then by investing in that, it just becomes this repeatable process. So investing, you can learn it. It's a repeatable process and it's a long-term process. And so once you learn the steps, it can be a step-by-step investment process. And that's really the way to step on the path to financial freedom. And Rebecca, I'll just talk about some different examples of financial freedom. And so Rebecca, I think your audience knows that you have moved into this, you know, gorgeous, beautiful new home. Look at that gorgeous chandelier. so as part of your goals of financial freedom. And financial freedom means something different everybody. So for audience members, I invite you to think about what does financial freedom mean to you? And what I like to encourage my audience members is when you are setting aside money that I call it the financial freedom account, that you can tap into this account for what are your goals for financial freedom. And I'll share a story. I'll never forget the time in November 2023. My phone rang at 5 a.m. and it was my sister. Her voice was shaking and she said that her husband the night before had been hit by a car in a crosswalk and that he had a brain bleed and was in the trauma unit. So, of course, my heart was racing and my hands were shaking. And what I thought was, I want to fly out. So I was in Boston at the time. My sister was in LA. I want to fly out and I want to be with my sister. And no matter what happens, I want to be by her side. So if he is going to make this recovery, then that is going to be a long-term path. And then if there's another situation. But I knew that I had this financial freedom account that was growing, that I had been investing in, this pool of money was growing alongside of me. So I didn't have to worry about like how much the plane ticket was. I didn't have to worry about if my company gave me enough time, like if I needed more than maybe like the 2 weeks that is standard, and that I could really just prioritize my family and being by my sister's side. So the great news is my sister's his name is Jeff. Jeff made a miraculous recovery. He is doing amazing. So after a 6-month recovery, and for me, that was the catalyst that I wanted to move closer to my sister. So I had this pool of money. And then a year later, I moved to LA.
We're going to stop you there. We're going to cut to a quick commercial break. When you come back, I want to find out what it's been like living in LA. And for the people who are just tuning in, this is Kelly Gushue. She is talking about financial planning, financial wealth, investing. We're talking long-term wealth with not a huge amount to invest. Anybody can start. She's going to tell you how to create your abundance. We're going to cut to a quick commercial break and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's Rebecca with Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant. Welcome back, everyone. We are here with Kelly Gushue talking about financial abundance and wealth. Now, you just told us an amazing story of how you had, what did you call this special account?
I call it the Financial Freedom Account.
I love it. Now, is this something that you do on your own? Is there an app that does it? Do you have a open an extra checking account called the Financial Freedom Account? We want to know. We heard on the last segment that you can invest $25 to $50 a month and slowly but surely build it up. But what are the mechanics of creating such an account?
Sure. And so in my provide workshops on my website. There are details for that. And in my workshop, we talk about the steps, the step-by-step process. And so first, if you have a retirement account, and so then you want to invest in that retirement account, there's that tax benefit that goes along with it. If that is an IRA account, that can be your 401k plan. And then a Roth IRA, if you're within an income threshold. And then what I like to call the Financial Freedom Account is really more of an investment account, because those retirement accounts, ideally, those are funds that you're saving for retirement, that you're investing, and they're growing over time for retirement. But this, ideally, this separate account is an investment account, and that you are adding to that as well. And so that could be you're adding to your retirement account, you are adding to this investment account. And this is, in my workshops, I talk about the money mastery system, so that you are doing several of these steps at the same time. And they can be in small increments. And then the idea is that this fund is growing over time. So you do want to open it at an investment provider. It could be the same provider as your retirement account. And one of the steps on my checklist is we want to keep it simple, especially for those who are starting off, is we want to think about an index fund, an S&P 500, that is the largest index, an S&P 500 index fund as a starting point. So for those small amounts, you just want to keep it simple. The goal is, and even for today, the goal is to start investing to add that amount. And for those out there, it might be opening that account. And so there are those big firms such as a Fidelity, a Schwab, a Vanguard. Those are one of the big firms that you can open one of these investment accounts and create that financial freedom account so that it's growing. And you can think about, what is your financial freedom goal? Is it like Rebecca, your dream house? I was telling that story that I then moved to LA.
We are like on totally opposite paths, because I moved to LA 24 years ago. Then I went back east to a more traditional life. And you've always been a global jet setter, but financial freedom looks different to both of us. Like you said, for me, it's my dream house. And for you, it's moving to LA. So I know you said in the last conversation, you were moving there to be near your sister. Mm-hmm. But what is life like in LA, and how is financial freedom to you? Because in our first conversation, you didn't know I was in escrow for my house. And you're like, who wants a house and a husband? I want to be like a global, jet setter and footloose and fancy free and having fun. So let's talk about, it's a dual question. First, what is financial freedom for you? And what has life been like in LA since you got there?
Sure. So my sister and her husband live in LA. So I wanted to be closer to family members. And then I also wanted to be close to the beach. So that's what my idea of financial freedom is. And so I go for a walk every day on the beach. I play beach volleyball. And so I wanted to be closer to a beach. So moving from Boston, where I only had a 3-month window to play beach volleyball, and for fun and recreational, what's fun is I've moved to LA and People say, oh, do you play for, you know, we have these advanced leagues in LA. And I just say, it's fun for me. And that's part of my financial freedom. And so this is why I say that this looks different for different people. And I had this pool of money growing alongside. So not only moving to LA, but also to launch this business, to focus on providing financial education and financial coaching for women. And so for me, I wanted to have that really flexibility to really pursue these dreams and goals.
And what was life like doing all this traveling? Were you doing financial planning and investing then? Were you an entrepreneur? Like, what gave you the money and freedom to be able to live in 11 cities? And tell us some of the cities that you've lived in.
Sure. So I want to say that I've always been a dreamer. And so I've always had ideas that I wanted to live and travel around the world. And so when I was in college, I'll never forget that I was a sophomore and went to one of these information sessions on an investment firm. And they flashed a screen that said, London, Tokyo, Sao Paulo, New York. And I said, that is what I want to do. And then if it's an investment firm that allows me to travel around the world, then I want an internship. And so that I had the idea that, so junior year, I took a class on China, and that's where the light bulb went on, that it was really going to be China over the, what I thought, over the next 20 or 30 years, that would really be the engine of growth for the world, because it had been, from an economic development standpoint, it had so far to go. And so I wanted to combine all of the
world right now. I mean, China's like our landlord. So it's good that you went there.
So when I took a class, this was in the late 90s. This was before it was clear that China would have this, you know, incredible economic trajectory. Mm-hmm. And so when I took a class on China at Harvard with Professor Perry, that was when it dawned on me that China was going to be part of this growth story, and that I wanted to spend time in Asia. And so I actually, during college, I did a summer internship in London to get a context for Europe. And then I said, actually, I really want to focus on Asia. And so I started my career at JP Morgan and started working in San Francisco, actually covering tech. And then I moved to Shanghai. And so I actually moved to Shanghai on my own. I didn't speak Chinese, and they really weren't going to hire me in advance. So I had heard from actually a mentor at JP Morgan that, Kelly, why don't you move there? And then it really gives you a chance to be hired. And so, and I've always been a beneficiary of mentors. I moved there on my own, and I actually, within 3 months, was hired as the first non-Chinese at one of the top 10 investment firms that was starting an international division and needed some research analysts. And so I was the start for a group of research analysts that were hired to train other research analysts about investing in stocks. And so that was my path of moving to Shanghai. And then I lived in Shanghai for 3 years, and I was interested in emerging markets. And so that's actually, I was working at Citigroup, working for a global investment platform, and I had moved back to the U.S. and I returned to the U.S. and I was open to moving back at some point.
Wait, let me go back to China. Did you learn Chinese?
I did.
Fluently?
No, I mean, it takes a long time, but I was interacting in a Chinese-speaking environment, so I needed to.
That's amazing. Wow.
Like, I like to joke around, so when you need, you know, when you're hungry and you need to eat, you're going to learn fast.
Yes, and there's sure a lot of good food to eat over there. Okay, go on with your story.
So I was working at a global investment firm, and the financial crisis happened. And I couldn't believe that at a global firm like Citigroup, there was a question about, was it going to make it, a number of these large firms. So Citigroup was a beneficiary of the government bailout. And that's when I decided I wanted to go back. I wanted to apply for an MBA. I wanted to study the financial crisis. I felt like the lessons would be with us over the next couple of decades. And in particular, from a U.S. standpoint, what we learned from the financial crisis, there may be other countries that may engage in some of these activities that they will have kind of future problems. And so I ended up going to the University of Chicago to study for an MBA at the Booth School of Business. And then that's where I knew that I was open, that I wanted to go back to Asia. And so after that, I worked in an investment firm. They had a rotational program and I was able to be placed in Hong Kong. And so that's where I worked as an emerging markets research analyst. And then unfortunately, they ended up restructuring the group. And then I was brought back to move back to Boston. And that's when the wheels started turning as an industry insider of, I was often the only woman in the room that, are women really investing? And the statistic that, a lot of people aren't really familiar with is that by 2030, so in 5 years, women will manage 65% of investable assets.
Wow.
And that is part of this this inheritance that baby boomers will pass that wealth to women. There is the saying that these millennials are excited about this inheritance as well, and I tend to say that we have a lot of women who are living well into their 90s. Ethel Kennedy, as a recent reference, and so I think that's going to take longer. And the idea is with women is, are you on the sidelines or are you investing? Are you going to be part of this, this wave of women's financial power? And so I'm also an advocate for women to invest so that they are part of this wave. And that, I thought as an industry insider that there wasn't as much education. And so I wanted to provide that financial education, financial coaching, so that this topic of investing was accessible, easy to understand, and that there really is a step-by-step process for things. And that's where in the resources that I provide, so on my website, you know, just this checklist of these 5 steps, I really try to show that it can be this step-by-step method, because I often feel like, especially a lot of the media voices, it's like, make money fast, get rich quick. And these, this idea that...
It's intimidating, because it's like, I don't even believe most of the things I see on social media. You see people standing in front of a mansion, a yacht, a car, and it's like, oh, I just like did 2 Facebook posts a week and made 100,000 last month. I mean, it is very intimidating. It's hard not to compare yourself. Like, why am I plugging away in my small businesses when someone else is like doing 2 Facebook posts? They're like, I don't even have to have like a consult call. I'm just making 100 grand a month. Like, what do you think of all these social media influencers like making wealth look so easy?
I think that first, I like to say how many of them stand the test of time. So that's something first is how long have some of these voices been around? We only have a small number of voices that have stood the test of time, that, and they typically have investment fundamentals that they are teaching and that they are talking about for their audiences. And I just think that there's an opportunity. There's just a lot of noise. And so another question that I pose to people is, does that person have industry experience? So there are a lot of voices who then say, I paid off debt, but what are some other ways? Like, were you investing? You know, do you understand how the industry works? Do you understand how to open up an account? Do you understand some of the, you know, the implications? So I think that's also, you know, another question. Does this individual have industry experience? And then do they have some articles that they've written? Because I also think that, the finance industry, there is a lot of substance that goes along with it. So often it's training. So part of being in the industry, I do have the CFP designation, Certified Financial Planner. But part of being in the industry is you have training every year to stay up to date with different industry topics. The amount for retirement contributions change. There are different dynamics within the industry. So the education component for those those who are advising and educating people changes. And so that's also an important aspect. So that's why I say is, does that person, have they written some articles to show that there's a bit more, that they have a bit more substance to share about it? Because yeah, you can watch in a video, but what else do they have to offer? And I would say that finding a trustworthy guide is really important for, Rebecca, as you talked about, this step-by-step, longer-term process.
So we're going to stop here for a commercial break. When we come back from this quick break, we're going to talk about how you can get an MBA, which I like to call massive bank account. And Kelly is the person who can show you how to do that. So hang out for 2 minutes, go to the commercial break, and we'll be right back with some amazing financial guidance from Kelly Gushue. She is a personal finance warrior, a coach, certified financial planner, all the things that can help bring in your abundance in 2025 and beyond. All right, everyone. Welcome back. It's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, interviewing Kelly Gushue on financial abundance. And we were just talking about how influencers are not always the person that you might want to go to get financial results. So, Kelly, tell us why women need to invest beyond their business to build wealth. And why is it so important for us to get out of our comfort zone? And also, if you want to just finish the thought that you were sharing before we cut to a commercial break, we can.
Sure. I'll share a couple of client testimonials just for some examples of how some clients have done this in the step-by-step manner. And so one of the key mistakes that women make, and this can be for entrepreneurs who are running their own business and also could be for career women, that they believe that their day job or their business is going to create financial freedom, is going to create that wealth for them. And what the affluent people who have true financial abundance know, that it typically is through investing that they have grown their significant wealth. And this means investing in assets. And that's a jargon word. And so that either means through financial markets, through real estate, through assets that grow over time. And the good news is when you invest in them, they can grow alongside what you're doing. So what I like to emphasize is you're focusing on your day job, you're focusing on your business, and I want you to invest alongside that and not just in a retirement account. I want to go to the next level. I want you to have an investment account that you are adding money to that is invested and growing over time, because this is the account that creates that financial freedom, that extra amount. And how does one do that? I'm going to give a couple of client examples. So I'll share about Tanya, who I worked with in 2024, an entrepreneur, marketing consultant, doing outstanding work for her clients, had 2 to 3 clients traveling around the country, and she attended a workshop and realized that she was ignoring important parts of her finances. So this is somebody who was doing fairly well as a consultant. So 3 things that she focused on and she realized in our work together. So number one was, as an entrepreneur, she could open a solo 401k plan. And so that means that you can contribute so much more in this special solo 401k plan, up to $70,000. So she's doing well. So typically, if you invest in a 401k, you're capped around that $23,000. In 2025, it's $23,500. With a solo 401k, you can contribute up to $70,000. So for her, she could allocate $40,000 to this account and have those tax benefits. So that was the first thing. The second thing, and what I do, and as part of this financial freedom checklist, is how much do you have left over to invest on a monthly basis? So yes, you can start in a small amount, $25, $50. Tanya had $2,000 extra dollars every month. So she was able to automate that. So in 1 year, that's $24,000. And then the third, and that was going to be, she was going to invest that in her investment account. And then the third thing is that she was saving money for a big ticket purchase. She wanted, she already had purchased a house, and she and her husband wanted to purchase a seasonal property. And so she then was saving up for that money as that, that was something that, that was part of her financial freedom plan. And so these three steps of the adding $40,000 to that solo 401k, that extra $2,000 every month, that resulted for her in an extra $50,000 in her account in 2024, with her just making some tweaks and adjustments. So yes, those dollar amounts might be smaller for people where they're doing maybe, you know, it could be $100, it could be $500 a month, but over time, the impact that that has. Now, last year we had 25% return in the S&P 500. That's much higher than our annual 10% that over, you know, the last 7 or 8 decades that we've had. And so, but last year was an exceptional year. And even if you had $100,000 with, and it was invested in S&P 500 index fund without any extra effort. So once, for those out there, once you learn this process, this repeatable process, without picking up an extra finger, without trading hours for time, without any hard work, your portfolio grew $20,000 from $100,000 to $120,000 without any extra effort. So once you learn this process of investing, it is a powerful way to create, I like to call it that financial freedom account, because it's really about what you want to do with that account. Once you learn the process for how it grows, it's really about what it means for you and your family.
That is great advice. Now, what does S&P stand for?
Sure. It stands for Standard & Poor's. And the 500 represents the 500 largest cap companies. And the idea is that this index is a broadly diversified index. And with the growth of some of these large tech companies, there are some questions, you know, about how broadly diversified it is. But just in general, it is one of the largest, most diversified index funds to invest in. So that tends to be a great foundation and a great first step for investors, experienced investors and first-time investors.
So you're telling me everybody's complaining about the recession, the price of gas and the price of eggs, but while everybody was experiencing inflation on the streets, In this index, this financial fund, people were making a 25% return average on their investment.
And Rebecca, that's exactly why we want people to have this investment account. If it's $25, $50 each month that you're adding to it, so that your money can grow alongside the day job that you have. It could be the multiple jobs that you have as an entrepreneur, the job, you know, the business that you tend to work so much extra, you know, extra time on it, that in addition to that, I want you to be investing in this account so that you too can benefit from, it was 25% in 2024. And over the last 5 years, the average has been 15%. So that means, you know, on average over the last 5 years, your account grew 15% each year. And even if it's, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 over time, that money is, you know, there's that word compounding, that's industry jargon, but it is growing. And one of the words is like a snowball, that snowball effect. Not only is it growing larger, but it's also like a faster way that your money is growing. And we want, you know, I'm an advocate that I want more women to be participating in the investment process.
Now, in your opinion, why do women need to have money? Like, what does that do for women?
Sure. Well, I'm an advocate of financial independence. So as I talked about, you know, the story with my mom growing up is she was a homemaker and the four children, and she needed to leave my father and was frozen out of the bank account. And she needed to decide, was she going to stay, you know, in the situation, or was she going to leave and to make that tough decision to leave and start from scratch? And so my mom, Marianne from the Bronx, made that tough decision. She said, I'm going to start from scratch. And even though she didn't go to college, that I'm going to start from scratch and I am going to lean on my neighbors and lean on the community so that I can get my, you know, feet on the ground and rebuild our life. And so my mom is the inspiration for financial independence. And so whether you're in a relationship or not, I want women to know about where their money is. And even if you are in a relationship, as what I like to say is, you know, some women come to me and they say, well, I manage the money in our account, in our relationship. And then I said, well, I want you to bring your spouse. I want both people to be knowledgeable about the money in their account, because it's about financial autonomy. Both people can be in a relationship together, but understanding about how the finances work. I know that we have tax time coming up. And what I like to tell people is to have that be a shared experience. Often it's one person who manages that process. The other person just kind of signs. But there's a lot of valuable information that's on tax documents for you to understand about your financial situation. And I'll just share one other kind of interesting dynamic is, I really believe that COVID was a complete game changer for this topic of money. So not only were people scared of, I might lose my job, I did lose my job, this, you know, what's going to happen with COVID, but this attention on, I don't know where the money is, and we're now in this situation. And so I do believe that post-COVID, that there's been a lot more attention on understanding the money in you know, household accounts, how the money works, how investing works. And so whether this is financial autonomy, financial independence, I like the term financial freedom. It doesn't mean, you know, that you have to quit your job. It just could be what are your goals and dreams? And so there's been much more attention on money. And I think that that is an amazing positive trend.
I agree. I think everybody should have 3 to 5 streams of income. People should have active investments like side hustles, which is what I teach, passive investments, which is what you teach. And let's bring the abundance on. Let's create that MBA, massive bank account. Now, I know everybody's going to want to know these 5 money moves that every entrepreneur needs to make. How do we get this list? I want to get my hands on this list. And tell us how to stay in touch with you on social media.
Sure. So I made it easy. So it's bit.ly wealth list. And so wealth list, one word. And so you can find that. My website is Personal Finance Warrior. And I have a list of resources also on Instagram, on my Linktree. There are some freebies there. There are some helpful articles as well as I list my workshops that are coming up. A workshop is a great way to learn more about the step-by-step process and to engage more with your money. And so I just want to leave the audience with that you can start today. That when I got that call from my sister at 5 a.m., we don't know. Life can change just like that. So you can start investing today. And if the next step is to open an account, if the next step is to look at, can I do $25? Can I do $50? How can I automate that process? I would love for you, when you're listening to this podcast, even if you're driving, that you think about one action step that you can take today.
Such great advice, Kelly. Thank you so much. And good luck with your global tour. I know you're speaking in London and you are just someone who is really out there in the world sharing your mission and empowering people to get to their financial abundance. So have a great time on your speaking tour this year. And thank you for being my guest today. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host and your friend, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Make sure you share this show with a friend. If you're listening on a major podcast platform or if you're listening on the radio, we really appreciate you staying in the community, listening to the show. If you're not following it, make sure you're following it. You can also see the video on YouTube if you want to see the behind the scenes of my dream house and see how beautiful Kelly is and all the great video things that you can't hear on the radio. Make sure you turn into my YouTube channel. Everybody, thank you again for going on this journey with me. You do not have to be stressed and burned out to achieve success and happiness. You can do it balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.